Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise the words of prophets, but test everything, hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil. This is the word of the Lord. Oh, no, it's not, another bit. No? May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Lisa. I think this is amazing. Have you seen this? Doesn't look great under these lights. This is, Karen's very kindly put it together. It was made during, wonderfully made, surprise, surprise, and it was put together by all the people putting their fingerprints onto this bit of paper, just showing how amazing God's creation is, how he's made every single one of those people, every one of those fingerprints. There's not another one of those in the world. And isn't it incredible how we've been able to just show some tiny fraction of that amazing individual nature of how God's created us in this picture. And you are wonderfully made. You are wonderfully made. Just say, I am wonderfully made.
I am wonderfully made.
Because God made me and loves me. There you go. It's amazing, isn't it? Thank you very much, Karen, for that. We'll put that somewhere on a wall. And it'd be good to pray as we come to reflect together on what God is saying to us, maybe through this scripture that we've just read. Lord, we thank you so much for your word, which really affirms us in who we are in you, really affirms us in the truth about you. Help us today to be so aware of your presence with us by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit at work in us, that we would be bursting to go from here to share you with others. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So, how have you been doing with the New Year's resolutions? Who here made a New Year's resolution this year? Just a few, okay. So if you have, how are you doing with it? Okay, is it coming on all right? Sort of, yeah, some different sort of... Well, I've done really well this year because I have not got any New Year's resolutions. So I've done all right with the resolutions in not having them. But the thing is that when I have them, if ever I have them, I always seem to fall short. I never quite manage to do it. I always intend to do really well with them, but I don't quite make the mark. Well, here we go. I've got another option for you, and you could look to having a productive January. Okay, so basically, this is from a website called Rest Less. Sounds great, doesn't it, to start with? Take a look at this picture. So you could, in this year, in productive January, have a new self-care habit that you could sort of develop, maybe. Or you could do this. You could do a winter clean. Anybody done a winter clean over the last few weeks? Yeah. It's lovely, isn't it, when you get rid of the Christmas decorations. For 5 minutes, your house looks tidy. It's fantastic. At least ours does, until the space gets filled again by toys. Or how about this, a fitness goal? Who's taken on a new sport, a gym membership of any kind this year? No? If you want any advice, have a chat with Sam. He's good at that sort of stuff. He's a boxer. And what about number four? What about having a dry January? Or alternatively, we've got some people doing that, alternatively, a veganery, which is giving up meat for the month. Or how about this? I think they're scraping the bottom of the barrel now. What about a health check on your car? Anyone done that recently? Yeah, you might want to if you haven't, because I think it's going to be quite cold next week. And then, of course, there's still the thank you letters to get written if you haven't done. And even if this idea actually gives me nightmares, even thinking about it, cleaning out or sorting out your wardrobe. Or you could, even, there's more, you could learn a new skill, some kind of craft or hobby, or you could have a reading list. Anyone got a reading list? Or last but definitely least, and I think, you know, if you're really, really at a loss of anything better to do, you could always defrost the fridge or freezer. So there's at least one thing you can do, but you might want to wait until the snow goes. It'll be quicker to defrost. So anyone done one of those things over this last month so far? Yeah, lots of nods. The one that troubles me most is the list. The list really bothers me. I've got about 8 books on my shelf that I know I want to read. I've got loads and loads of different lists and things. And to-do lists just scare me a bit, because I seem to not get as many things done as are on the list, and there seems to be more that add. And when I cross something off, there's just 3 or 4 more things that have been added. But I don't know about you, but the whole idea of list and peace just doesn't seem to cut it. Does anyone like lists here? Some people do. Some people do. Is it the crossing off bit that's good? Yes, it is. I think we all agree with that bit. But I wonder whether you thought about what Paul said today as a bit of a to-do list. Did it seem like a bit of a to-do list? Does it seem a bit stressful? Does it seem a bit ambitious? Well, here's some good news. Paul wasn't writing to his friends to overwhelm them. He was writing to encourage them. He didn't want them to procrastinate, but to persevere. He wrote to encourage, not to admonish. While in the letter, he answers questions that they have about Jesus' return and what happens in the afterlife. He also reminded them to take their responsibility for the growth of faith and pastoral care of the church. Just before our reading today in verse 11, Paul told them to encourage one another and build up each other, as indeed you are doing. After focusing on leadership and pastoral ministry, he moved on to encourage the church to prioritize and proclaim their faith in God. Is this something we want to do as well? Priorities, another scary word, even more scary if we call them spiritual priorities, can be a bit of a concern. So Paul says this: rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ for you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise the words of the prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil. This might seem a bit overwhelming, but Paul begins with these words: rejoice always. Does rejoicing often end up at the bottom of your list? Of course, Paul focuses on the forerunner, the focus of our faith, Jesus. It's because of him that we can rejoice. We have the best news in the world to share. There is hope. Because God himself came as Jesus, lived a human life, died on the cross for our wrongdoings, and then defeated death by being raised to life. You and I have hope because in him we are free. In those moments where you doubt that, remember that Scripture tells us that those who the Son sets free are free indeed, absolutely. Jesus is the foundation stone of our faith. I've heard it put this way: Christian joy, rooted in the gospel, is infused with hope and grows in relationship with the Lord. Christian joy, rooted in the gospel, is infused with hope and grows in relationship with the Lord. And it's to that end, relationship, that Paul shares this amazing list, not of tasks, but actually of rules of life. focused on helping us to grow in faith. So Paul says, pray without ceasing. Now, of course, to do that is impossible. I'm sure we all like to take a nap at some point. Have you ever fallen asleep praying? Yeah? Yeah? So, you feel wonderful when you wake up, you do, but then do you feel guilty? Because I'm sure that's not what God wants. You know, if you go to sleep when praying to God, what an amazing thing to do. The last thing on your mind before going to sleep is God. So don't ever feel guilty about that. Paul is saying that we should be persistent, isn't he? And frequent and not prescriptive. Of course, routine is important. Without that, prayer is easily squeezed out. What Paul suggests here, however, is that our prayer conversations with the Lord should be just that, conversational, like you would if a person is around you during the day. And then in verse 18, we read, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ for you. Sure, thanks for my holiday, thanks for my friends, thanks for the sunshine. But what about those times of trial? Paul wanted people to give thanks always because God's grace and love isn't only limited to the times when things are going well. He's always with us in all circumstances. He wants only the good for us, and so we can trust that whatever situation or the outcome, the Lord will be there. I wonder, what is the source of your joy? Memories? People? Things? Jesus? See, it's because of what Jesus has done that deep down we have a never-ending source of joy that can go way beyond what we experience in the here and now. A joy that is founded on a hope and a future eternal life. Yes, life can and will be rubbish. We live in a broken world. But Jesus will one day come again to deal with that. And whilst we live in that promise, Paul tells us not to put the Holy Spirit's fire out or despise the words of the prophets. We're encouraged to be open to the Holy Spirit's working as we worship, as well as sharing what God puts on our hearts for the community to grow in faith. He was saying that we need to be careful not to cause God's gift of the Spirit to be held back or restricted. And don't close our ears to him using others to speak his truth into our lives. So I wonder what things might get in the way of those things. Maybe an overdependence on structure or control. Maybe not leaving space to hear God. Maybe believing something that we've been told that isn't true about who we are or whose we are or what we are. Those things can have an effect on us and they chip away at us, especially when they're told us repeatedly, you're no good, you're rubbish, you're not worth anything, God doesn't love you. God doesn't love me. How could God love me? I know me. They're lies. They're not true. And they're not from the Holy Spirit. You see, this isn't about style. If you've got your prayer book or set words, it's about having opportunities for God's Spirit to work in and through us as we worship together. And when we worship together and we come together and we read God's word together and we open it out together and we pray together, God speaks to us by his Spirit. And from others, he speaks truths into our lives. And so when we meet together, we should expect healing. We should expect to see amazing things happening as God sets us free from things that we believe about ourselves, from things that we've been told about ourselves, things about our identity that are just not why he wonderfully made us. Because he did wonderfully make you for a purpose, individual as you are, and he loves you. And so let's be open to hear what God has to say to us. But we also need to be cautious. We need to make sure that what we hear is right. And we read in verse 21, test everything, hold fast to what is good, refrain from every form of evil. So God will speak to and through to you and through you to others as we worship. But as the church, we also need to be careful in testing what we've heard. The danger is not that God doesn't speak to us. He will speak to us. It's a lack of testing. Does the word strengthen? Does it encourage? Does it comfort? Who does it serve to build up? Is the word in line with the rest of Scripture? And that's why, as church, we evaluate it together. Remember, prophecy is not the word of God. I'll say it again because this is really important, very frequently misunderstood. Prophecy is not the word of God. It's us bringing forwards something that God has potentially put on our hearts. And that is why it's important to weigh that humbly and gently. I've lost count of the number of times that something I've heard and shared that might seem random to me has spoken directly to somebody else. And for that, I'm thankful. And of course, Scripture is the primary place that we go to hear what God has to say to us. But it's important to also remember that whilst we test it, that is also another reason why it's fine for us to bring those things we think God's saying to the church, because when we do that, we know that together we'll work through that and work out if it's from God. And if it is, what an amazing gem to share together. You see, with the encouragement these things in worship bring, Paul comes to the end of his letter and he prays this. He says, may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He reminds them, the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. When I look at my to-do lists, only if I do will they get done. The work is down to me. Of course, if we lived in a vacuum, we'd probably get more of our lists done. But the reality is that it's easy to get things done if most of what life throws to us wasn't out of our control. And later on, we're going to be giving thanks for Acacia's life. And we're going to be also, as we do that, thinking maybe to how we have given our lives, or maybe we might want to give our lives to Jesus. You and I can continue to go through both the joys and the mess, will continue rather, to go through both the joys and mess of life. We can do our best to grow in faith and trust with God, but when it's all said and done, we must all take time to remember that we are not God. We're created. We're not the creator. The Lord wants us to do our best and to remember that he has done the rest in Jesus. And that's why you and Acacia and I are set apart, holy, welcomed in, blameless in the eyes of God. When Jesus comes again, we will see that in all its fullness, because in him we are forgiven. We don't need to strive to be, because you and I already are loved and saved in Jesus. Remember, the Lord who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. Let's just pray for a moment, shall we? just spend a moment just listening. Thank you, Lord, that you call us and you are faithful. Thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross for us, that you defeated death and came back to life. In you we have a future. You are the truth. You are the way. You are the life. I just encourage you to bring to mind anything that you think is a barrier to that truth, and to place it at the foot of the cross. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to our hearts as your church, truths of who you are and who we are in you. Those whom the Son sets free are free indeed. You are free. You are a new creation, clothed in Christ. Just a reminder, a few weeks ago, I spoke about setting aside the filthy rags and putting on the beautiful wedding dress that is made for you. Just reaffirm you this morning of that truth, that you are beautiful in the eyes of God. He loves you. There's nothing he wouldn't do for you. The only thing you need to say to him is yes. And Lord, we're going to respond now together in song worship. We're going to sing to you. We're going to praise you. We're going to lift your name up high, for you are our God. We are your people, and we want to be affirmed in that truth. And as we do, we pray, speak to us, encourage us. Speak of your truths to us, and help us hear your voice. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to encourage us to stand and sing now. And as we do that, what I'm going to suggest is this. I'm going to suggest that if you feel God putting something on your heart or mind, especially if it seems something that so if you think, say, for example, you had ready break for this morning for breakfast, and you feel the word ready break coming to mind. That might be from God, but it might also be because you had ready break this morning. All right? That's fine. You're not going to do any damage by suggesting it. But if you feel that there's some words or a prayer or something that God puts on your heart, and be open to that, you'll be surprised how God will speak to you if you believe he will do. He will do. He will speak to you. He wants to speak to you. He's alive. Of course he will. It's just being open to receiving. And if you do, I'd encourage you to... I'm going to put some bits of paper on different tables and things and some pens. And then what we'll do... Adam's going to go and grab them now. Aren't you, Adam? Thanks very much. And then what we'll do is that I'm just going to encourage you just to write that down. And then what we'll do is collect them in, and then we'll share, we'll pray about them and share them. If there are some that we don't share, it's not because we don't want to. It might be because we want to just clarify a couple of things with you on it, okay? Does that make sense? It is not that you haven't heard from God. It's that it would be good just to clarify something. So if that's the case, come and have a chat with me afterwards, and then I can just clarify these things. And then if it is, then God's held that for a reason, because he wants it to be shared maybe at some other point or in some other way. So we might do that in that way. Is that okay? But let's step forwards in this. Let's actually say, yes, Lord, you will speak to us. And I know that some people have sat there and thought, no, he won't. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Will he speak to us? Yes, he will. Let's sing.